The sun was shining bright. A gentle breeze was blowing my way. Not a storm cloud inside. Then suddenly, without warning, a storm surrounded my life.
Another man with the power of this friend, by simply saying, "Peace be still," he can calm the strongest wind. That's why I never worry. Oh, when the storms come my way, I know that He'll be here to drive away my fear, so I can smile and say
that I know the peacemaker. I know Him by name.
That good singing, say amen. Amen. Can't beat that. Hallelujah. Can't beat that. All right. I want you to open your Bible this morning. Now, everybody, settle down. I'm going to preach a sermon this morning that I have never preached before, and I have never heard a sermon on the subject that I'm getting ready to preach on this morning. So you want to be sure, give me your attention just for a few short minutes. I hope it'll turn out all right. You know, when you ladies try, like, make a new cake or something, you think, "Lord, I hope it don't poison you or something." It ain't going to do that for sure. But I hope it turns out all right. Open your Bible to the book of Acts chapter 17. The book of Acts chapter 17. I've never heard a sermon on this, and I was reading my Bible the other day, and it just really got a hold of me, this one word. And you're going to hear it this morning, talking about this one word. All of us are familiar with this word. And the Apostle Paul here, in one of his great confrontations that he had during his ministry, was at Athens, Greece. Very well-to-do, prosperous, educated group of people. Much like we would be preaching in America today. And I want you to notice Paul said, verse 16, while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. It tore him up when he looked and seen that whole city worshiping false gods. Therefore, disputed he in the synagogue with the Jews and with the devout persons and in the market daily with them that met him. Then certain philosophers of the Epicureans and of the Stoics encountered him. Now, if you study the Bible, you know about the Epicureans and the Stoics. Actually, you'd have to study history, the fellow named Epicurean. And there were two different philosophies. The Epicureans believed, basically, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. Live it up now. Stoicism was a belief that another group of people have that means just tough it out, take what comes, where nobody can change anything. There's no absolute knowledge. It's where we get being an agnostic from. You don't really know anything for sure. So the Epicureans and the Stoics were there arguing. Don't that sound like America today? They're full of people like that. Now look at verse what they said. Here's what they said about Paul. And some said, what will this babbler say? They believed in whatever's to be will be and thought Paul was a babbler. Ain't that what they call a preacher? Babbler. Like gum bumper I have been called before. And I thank the Lord for that. I'll get my reward in heaven. And so other some, he seemeth to be a setter forth of strange gods. That's what they thought about Paul. Who's this nut coming in here telling us about these new gods? Because he preached unto them Jesus and the resurrection. They thought he was crazy. And they took him and brought him to Areopagus, saying, may we know what this new doctrine whereof thou speakest is? For thou bringest certain strange things to our ears. We would know therefore what these things mean. For all the Athenians, look at this, and strangers which were there spent their time in nothing else but either to tell or to hear some new thing. You know what that meant? They should have been out working for a living, but evidently they had plenty of money, and they stayed all day and watched talk shows and The View and the Montel and Oprah and all that. They spent their time either hearing or telling something new. You ever met anybody like that? All they do is sit around and want to know what the latest gossip, or who's in Hollywood and who's divorced in Hollywood and who's going to either to hear or tell some new thing. What a pitiful way to live. Amen. What a pitiful existence. Now look here what he said. Verse 22. Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things ye are too superstitious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God. That's what they was worshiping. They didn't even know who he was. Amen. Whom therefore ye ignorantly worship. Him declare I unto you. God that made the world. Here's the true God, Paul's saying. And all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands. You ain't going to box him in, Paul said. You're not going to build this God. You ain't going to carry him in there and set him down. He either is worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything. God don't need anything. Let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. God don't need us. But we sure need him. He giveth, it said, seeing he giveth all life and breath and all things. And hath made, look at here, verse 26. And hath made of one blood all nations. Anybody, any color, any race, anything, blood will mix. You cannot mix with animals. We've made of one blood to dwell on the face of the earth. And hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of our habitation. That's why God put oceans between us and put us on different continents. That's what he said. Why? That they should seek the Lord. Get saved. If haply they might feel after him and find him. though he be not far from every one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said. We are also his offspring. Now I'm not going to take time to read that, but look at verse 30. For the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. He said, you don't even know what you're worshiping. You have no clue what you're doing. You have all these gods and you're educated and don't have a bit of brains in the world who or what you're worshiping. I'm declaring to you that real God. Now, the word I want to preach on this morning is in verse 22. He said that in all things you are too superstitious. I want to preach this morning on that word this morning, superstition. I doubt you've ever heard a sermon on it. You'll listen carefully. One day I was reading the Bible and it jumped out at me and I thought, how much of what people believe is superstition? It shocked me. I began to just write down things. And I began to just think things I've heard and been taught all my life, trying to separate what is superstition from the Word of God. And the definition of superstition is this. I've heard people say, well, you know my grandma, she is real superstitious. Let me tell you what the definition of superstitious is. It is an unreasonable fear of what is unknown, like a black cat crossing the road in front of you, mysterious or imaginary, especially in connection with religion. It said there's a worship based on fear or ignorance or an unreasoning expectation. For example, if we do something like if we put a four-leaf clover in the Bible, or if that'll bring us good luck, or if lots of things. I'm gonna name off a bunch of them. It is an ignorant fear or mistaken reverence. Now, some of the most superstitious people in the world are extremely educated people. You wouldn't think that. Now, we as a Christian don't fear Friday the 13th. We can get a blessing on Friday the 13th. We don't fear the number 666. I've heard of people, this has been years ago, when you'd fill up your tank and it'd come up to 666, you'd squirt it out on the ground or anything, make it 668, because you thought some kind of curve. Now, there is a reason to watch out for that number 666. That's not totally. But it's not right to think that number itself can hurt you. Let me explain what I'm talking about this morning. All right, are you ready? The devil wants you to doubt the real thing. So the devil invents crazy stuff so that a lot of people can't discern the real thing from the crazy stuff. Some of the crazy stuff has Bible base in it. And I'm going to tell you about those here this morning. Ignorant worship, like rubbing beads, thinking it'll make your prayers being answered. Like, where did all this stuff come from? Where did it come from about, did you know, putting flowers on a grave at a cemetery? There's a reason for that. People in ancient days, when they put flowers on a person's grave, and they thought if those flowers sprang up and blossomed real pretty, that it meant that loved one was in heaven and at peace. And we still do it to this day, have no idea what we're doing. Church bells. They ring church bells in a lot of churches. I'd love to have one here. I'd like to have one that big, banging everybody out of bed within 5 miles of here. But did you know what the origin of that was? They believed that if you rang those bells enough over the church, it would drive demon spirits away. There's nothing in the Bible about stuff like that. There's nothing in the Bible about it. All right, here we go. If you blow out all your candles of your birthday cake, you will get a wish. To prevent an unwanted guest from coming back to your house, sweep the room that they were in after they leave. Raise your hand. There's some people in here who heard that? If the first butterfly you see this spring is white, you will have good luck all year long. If you have a cough, take a hair from your head, put it in between two pieces of bread with butter on them, and feed it to the dog, and quote, eat well, you hound, may you be sick and I be sound. If your nose, don't laugh, if your nose itches, company is coming. Now, I've had my nose bother me after some of my company got there. But that ain't superstition. That's crazy. That's ridiculous. Where'd that stuff come from? If you wear new clothes on Easter, you'll have good luck the rest of the year. Why is it we always got to have a new Easter outfit? If you cut your hair on Good Friday, you will prevent headaches. I'm going to try that. Them goody powder is getting expensive. Or you pray prayers like this. Wish I may, wish I might, have the wish I wish tonight. Wish I may, wish I might, have the wish I wish tonight. Now listen, don't let your kids do junk like that. That's chanting. That ain't praying. That'll get you in touch with a demon. Don't tell your wish or it won't come true. Wear new clothes on Easter will give you good luck. Pull out a gray hair. If you pull out a gray hair, 10 more will grow in its place. That ain't really true. You're just getting older. They're going to grow in this place whether you pull it out or not. That's like saying if you shave your hair and it'll grow back thicker. That ain't true. You just think it is. If you catch a falling leaf on the first day of fall, you won't get a cold that year. If a young girl catches a ladybug and lets it go, the direction that ladybug flies will be the direction her future husband will come from. Don't laugh. Pulling apart a wishbone. When you ever catch, we used to do this every time we'd have chicken. You'd pull it. All right, I'm gonna pull it with the wish. Make a wish. Pull that wishbone. You know where that got started? Back in the heathen days, they fought over them things, man. They'd starve to death, and they'd fight and pull and break them bones. Whoever got the biggest piece, they thought would have good luck. Okay. Put an onion under your bed will reduce fever and take sickness away. I don't know about that. If you knock three times on wood after you mention a good fortune, it'll keep evil spirits away from you. And we do that, don't we? We say, boy, Lord, been good to me. Better shut up. What are we doing? That ain't got nothing to do with the Bible. That ain't got nothing to do with God. They're trying to think that's going to keep evil spirits away from you. Well, where did all this stuff come from? Let's talk about it here for just a little bit this morning. Putting flowers on graves. You know where that come from? People thought that if you put flowers on graves and they blossomed, that your loved one who had died was at peace. And if it didn't blossom, that meant they was in trouble. That's where we get putting flowers on graves. Friday 13th. That comes from Jesus being crucified supposedly on Friday and the number 13, which is bad. All right? I'm going to name off some of these to you this morning, and then I'm going to tell you the real truth. Listen to this. They believe that putting on flowers on graves, if they blossomed, the soul was at peace and had good luck. The number 666 is biblically based. But if your check at the dollar store comes out to be 666, that don't mean God's going to curse you that day. It's superstition. People were superstitious. I'm preaching this morning about these things that are just ridiculous. I'm going to give you some right quick, and then I'm going to make a few comments, and I'll be through. Listen to these. Now you check them out. All of these are things you're going to recognize, but none of them have any biblical basis at all unless it is a twisted biblical base. I'm going to start with number 13 and then work my way down to the scariest one. First, beginner's luck. Everybody's heard of beginner's luck. What is beginner's luck? It's a thing that says, The first time a man ever plays golf, he goes up there and he hits a hole in one. And everybody says, well, all that is beginner's luck. And, you know, and that might happen. But that one man out of 10,000 might do that, and people just think, oh, well, that's beginner. There's no such thing. There's no such thing in the Bible as beginner's luck.
you're likely to win the first time. I think sometimes the devil will let you win the first time you gamble and he'll to get you hooked. He'll let you win just enough to get you addicted, and then you ain't going to wind up winning all the time. It's impossible. They don't build them big nice buildings over in Cherokee and in Las Vegas off people winning money. You hear me? Are you crazy? You can't beat the odds. It's impossible. You might for a while, but the odds will beat you. And the proof is all in big, beautiful buildings they got in that place. Are you listening? If you find a penny, and you see a penny, pick it up all day long, you'll have good luck. Find a penny, pick it up all day long, you'll have good luck. That's wicked, brother, junk like that is. That ain't of God. That ain't the Bible. If you find a penny, it probably ain't going to do you one bit of good. Can't do nothing with it. Takes a nickel to put in a bubblegum machine anymore. Listen to this. If you walk under a ladder, I know Christians that will not walk. I ain't walking under that thing. Why? Why? Ah, it's bad luck. You're crazy. That ain't Bible. That's superstition. You say, well, I know somebody walked under a ladder and it fell on and killed them. I know a bunch of people got killed and didn't walk under one. Now, that they said that come from somewhere of the Trinity. They somehow, the ladder goes like this, and up against, well, somehow the cross, and you're being disrespectful to the cross, some kind of bunch of bull like that. Nothing to it. If a black cat runs in front of you across the road, then that means you got bad luck, something awful's going to happen. I know people, and you know where that come from? In the old medieval times, witches would take the form of a cat, and it'd really be a witch. It wasn't really a cat. That might be true, Lord, I don't know. I wonder why it's always them cats. Ain't dogs, it's cats. Scary. Them things are scary. Black cat. If you put a rabbit foot in your pocket, it will hold evil and cause good luck. But if you like garlic and have a cross, it'll get rid of vampires. Come on, man. If you like garlic, it'll get rid of everybody. We had that junk here last night from that old stuff. I don't see how y'all eat that stuff all the time. It makes you stink. Listen, you think nobody can't smell it. It's like a drunk. Somebody's drunk. You think nobody can't smell it. Everybody can smell it. Let's move on here a little bit. Bad luck always comes in threes. Well, this happened. You know, there's two. There's one more coming. Where in the world that come from? Ain't no such thing as luck to a Christian. You ever looked at that word luck? It's L-U-C. Lucifer. That's where that comes from. It's the power of the devil. But there is no such thing as luck for a Christian. Amen? If you break a mirror, you'll have 7 years of bad luck. Lord, I've got one broken there right now against the wall. Maybe that's what's wrong with me. They believe that when you looked in a mirror, it held pieces of your soul, and if you broke it, you would have 7 years of bad luck. Listen, if I had one right here, I'd break it right in front of you. Just to show you, that is not Bible, that is not biblical, it has nothing to do with God, it has nothing to do with a Christian, and if you break, don't y'all be superstitious. When you say something like that, you go, knock on wood. Where you get that from? Isn't it amazing how superstitious a lot of Christians are about that cross, man? It's got something to do with that cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. The number 666 is considered. But that's a Bible-based one, and I'll talk about more of that in a minute. A wishbone. If you break a wishbone, whoever gets the biggest part gets their wish come true. You say, well, I told somebody something, but I have my fingers crossed. What does that mean? It's all right to lie if you have your fingers crossed. That cross wipes out your lie. The cross wipes out your lie. It's okay for me to lie if I got my fingers crossed. That ain't right. That ain't right. You just a finger crossed liar is all you are. If you open an umbrella inside your house, something bad's going to happen to you. Somebody's house fell on them. They opened an umbrella. I knowed it. Don't never do nothing. Don't ever get married. Don't never have a baby. Don't never do nothing on Friday, especially Friday 13th. I read this. I don't know if you believe it or not. But Friday the 13th falls on Friday more than any other day. That's weird, isn't it? Do you know there's more Friday 13ths than there are Thursday 13ths or Wednesday 13ths or Monday, Tuesday, and Sunday and all the other days? Wednesdays? That's weird, isn't it? That's what it said. In the last 688 years, there's been 440 Friday 13ths. And I'm 688 in the last 440 years and only 681 Sundays, Wednesdays, and they are the next highest, Sundays and Wednesdays. Let me say something about this a minute, and I'll make a comment, and I'll hush. The big, educated, high society rulers of Athens, and an old man of God pointed his finger. He said, "You're superstitious. We're living in a time, brother, when the devil will do everything in the world. Like people put a horseshoe over their door." Wear a cross around their neck. Think it might bring them good luck. A cross is a sign of a curse, brother. A cross is not going to bring you good luck. It's a curse. Cursed is he that hangeth on a tree. Listen, the man that was on that cross and went to the tomb and got up out of the grave, that's who you want to worship and honor. A cross ain't going to bring you good luck. There's nothing special or even good about a cross. The devil uses it to trick you. If it's in the Bible now, it's not superstitious. Evolution is a superstition. Sure is. The danger of superstition is if it's in the Bible, it's not. There are some things that are in the Word of God, like the number 666. It'll be the mark of the beast. It's the mark of the Antichrist. The number 13. Definitely. People say, well, no number's different than the other. There definitely is scripture for that. There definitely is. God is a numerical God. The Bible is a numerical book. The number 3 in the Bible clearly presents the Trinity. The number 4 in the Bible clearly represents the world. 4 seasons, east, north, west, south, fall, winter, spring, summer. The number 5 in the Bible represents grace and death clearly in the Bible. The number 6 in the Bible clearly represents man made on the sixth day, 666, man's perfection. The number 7 in the Bible is completion. It's completion. 7 days, then God rested. The 8th day, new beginning. Number 8 on that piano right there. Do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, ti. That's 7. Do, 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 do. Top do, same as bottom do. That represents new beginning all the way through. The numbers, there's numbers in the Bible, and that is biblical. And you can stand by that and believe that. And what the Bible says is right is right. And what the Bible says is wrong is wrong. I'm telling you this morning, ladies and gentlemen, a horseshoe over your door ain't going to keep evil spirits away. Listen, a rabbit's foot in your pocket ain't going to bring you good luck. But I'll tell you what you better do. Your faith and hope and trust better be in the Lord Jesus Christ and what He done for you on the cross. We don't fear Friday 13th. We don't fear black cats. We don't bother others to walk under a ladder. Brother, if a black cat runs across in front of me, I'm going to try to run over the sorry thing. I'm telling you tonight, this morning, we're not afraid of black cats. By the help of God, we're going to be what the Bible says and do right. And not like Paul said, these people were superstitious. You'd be surprised. People in Hollywood, college educated people carrying around, businessmen carry white rocks in their pockets and pearls and some of these stuff, so because they'll think it gets them a job interview and maybe gets them a part in a program. And they talk about us believing crazy stuff. Ball players wear the same shorts that they've got. I got to have those certain socks. I got to have those certain socks. You know why? Because they wore them socks one time, scored a lot of points. So I think, that brought me good luck. It wasn't you socks, you retard! Why do we think stuff like that? We're bad as that. We go about things a certain way, a certain way. Well, I remember I wore this outfit that day, and I really had a good day. I'm going to wear it. That didn't have nothing to do with your outfit. I'm looking at the... This is most of y'all, some of y'all's thunk since you was in the sixth grade. I want to say a couple things here, and I'm done. I'm about out of time, and I was going to talk to you about a lot of things. We as Christians this morning, our faith is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. The fact is, this morning you're a sinner. It's been in you since you were a baby. You've got sin from your parents, and they got it from their parents, and they got it from their parents, all the way back to Adam and Eve. You inherited the sin of your parents. That's a fact. That's not a superstition. The fact is, it is enough that Jesus died and that He died for me. That's a fact, brother, and I'll base my never dying soul on that. I'm not going to say, well, my mom, you know, she put a four-leaf clover in the Bible, and I'd be scared to death to get out of there. I wouldn't worry about that four-leaf clover as much as I would doing what that Bible says. It's not a magic book. It's not a blessed, some kind of a Baptist seance we're having here this morning. It's not, brother, just something that's luck, L-U-C, like Lucifer. It is the fact of the Word of God. There's a God in heaven. He sees you right now. And God's looking at everybody in here this morning. He's looking at you. Instead of putting a horseshoe above your door, get your kids around and pray with them with a King James Bible and ask God to bless their lives. Paul told him one time, he said, whom you therefore ignorantly worship, him I declare unto you. We used to sing a song years ago, and it said this, I need no other argument. I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died, and that He died for me. My faith has found a resting place, not in device or creed. Lord, I ain't heard that in 20 years, I guess. I need no other argument. I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died, and that He died for me. You know what I'm going to do? When it comes time for me to check out of here, I'm not going on luck. I'm not going on with the stars in the right place and my horoscope. That's a bunch of junk, people. I'm going out of here with my faith in what the Son of God did for me on the cross. It is enough that Jesus died, that He died for me. Let's stand by our heads for prayer.